Welcome to Human Potential at Work, the show where we explore social impact, inclusion, and empowerment of everyone, including persons with disabilities. Your host is Deborah Rue, CEO of Rue Global Impact, and co-founder and chairwoman of Billion Strong, an identity and empowerment organization designed to bring billions of voices of persons with disabilities together. To join the global community and to donate to the cause, visit billion-strong.org. That's billion-strong.org. And now, on to the episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Human Potential at Work. My name is Deborah Rue. Y'all know this, but I'm the CEO of Rue Global Impact, and I'm the executive chair of Billion Strong. And I'm so excited about my guest today because what they are doing at Indeed is truly changing the world for our community. They really are. And what we need to do as our community, we need to get behind them and we need to support what they're doing. And when I heard what they were doing, I started hearing just rumors almost from some of my contacts. And they're saying, you know, Indeed's doing this and Indeed's doing that. And I was like, really? So because if we can get Indeed to really care about our community, include us, care about accessibility, which by the way, they already do, I believe this is a major win for us. And so my guest today is Donna Bungard, which I hope I said that correctly, Donna. Oh, good, good, good. And Donna is the Senior Accessibility Program Manager and Marketing for Indeed. And I want to real quick talk about that for a second. They're such a large brand, which a lot of the people we talk to on the show are large brands, but I like that they're being innovative with how they're including the accessibility blending into the conversation. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But before I turn it over to Donna, quick visual description. I'm a mature woman with gray, white, and purple hair. And today I'm wearing a hat because I was too lazy to make my curls try to behave. And I'm wearing blue today. So, and I have on blue glasses. But Donna, first of all, thank you for being on the show. And then I want to say, as a member of the community and as somebody that has a family members of the community, I am so grateful for what you and your team members all over Indeed are doing. So thank you for that.
Deborah, thank you so much for having me. I am excited to be here. And for the quick visual description of myself, I am a 40-something Caucasian woman with long, dark hair, clear-ish glasses. And I am just really excited to be here. Oh, and behind me, I have the We Help People Get Jobs slogan with Indeed.
Yes. And you know what? Let's talk about Indeed. I know that I will speak for myself. I have a very strong name recognition of Indeed. It's like when anybody's talking about jobs, I immediately myself think of Indeed. I will tell you, I used to think of monster jobs, but now I think of Indeed. Don't know why. That's just me personally. But for people that might not know what Indeed does, and also that Indeed is a global brand, maybe we could talk about that as well.
Sounds great. Yes, Indeed. Well, we help people get jobs all over the world. And it's more than just, you know, job postings. There's connection, there's tools, there's ways for people to really interact and get a feel for each other and the companies, the candidates, and really find that match. And that's what we're doing. And we do. We have offices all over the world. We have postings all over the world. We have a couple of amazing translation teams. I can't even tell you all the languages. It's out of my wheelhouse. I've seen the list. I usually just say, please just make work. I don't know. That's not my skill set. They're incredible professionals all over the world, all connected by the mission to get people jobs because we really genuinely believe that better work leads to better lives. And identities, and it's a part of who we are, and we can help do that, and that's really exciting and powerful. And my not so inner nerd really loves it.
I agree. And the reality is, what do we ask when we first meet a person? I've actually used to annoy my children by asking this question. They're like, "Mom, whose cares?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's what we ask when you meet somebody. You know, what's your name? What do you do for a living?" I mean, yeah. Work is so important. And one thing that we, you don't hear it as much, but I used to hear, oh, people with disabilities don't want to work. They're, you know, just on, you know, taking money from the governments. And I'm like, oh, you are so wrong. People with disabilities want to work. They want to be taxpayers. They want to be included. And I just, you know, it's work is the most important thing, I think, in these conversations. Now, we have to be prepared for work. We have to bring in, make sure things are accessible and use assistive technology and all good processes. But the reality, work really tells people who you are. And it's really hard when we're leaving large segments of people out. And also, as you know, with our aging populations, the workforce is shifting and changing, and we need more sophisticated help. And I will also say to you, Donna, I hear this all the time. People don't know, they don't understand anymore how to get a job. And I was just wondering if, before we get in more to the accessibility part, if you could talk a little bit about that, because we know about things like the great resignations. Oh no, the tech people are being laid off the first time ever. Do we need keyword? It seems complicated to get a job now, Donna. I have so many people that said, I've never looked for a job. Somebody would just say, hey, do you want this job? But I don't know that the world works that way anymore.
I am still a fan of networks. Personally, I know that my professional network has grown to be a group of friends, really. In addition to that, and there's a lot of mutual support and appreciation of each other's skills and what we bring to the table. There is genuine respect and appreciation. So I won't discount that. However, yeah, you know, people come to Indeed, they set up their account, they set up their preferences, where they want to, where their interests are, what their criteria are. Employers out there are doing a similar thing, and we're trying to help make it easier. We're trying to make that connection easier. You know, and as much as we're here to talk about disability inclusion, Indeed is focused on breaking down barriers more than just disability related. I mean, there are countless barriers, biases out there at a systematic level, and we're actively working on it. We have teams across around the globe actively working on these issues and trying to make that connection easier and more rewarding and you know, have it happiness be a skill as well and all of that. So there's a lot to it, but
yeah,
I think it just comes down to bring your whole, like, again, this is Donna's philosophy. Donna's a fan of bring your whole self.
Great.
You will find some place where that is exactly what they need. And I don't know, I think that diversity of human experiences is what makes organizations stronger.
I agree. And we know for sure, we have the research to prove that diverse workforces actually are more innovative and creative. We know that. And you and I were talking a little bit before we got on air today, and we were talking a little bit about, and I'm going to use your term, and I love this, disabled enough. And I've had people ask me in events, what do you think the number one problem is when including people with disabilities overall? And I'm like, well, there's a lot of problems, but some are that we don't even know we're part of the community, or maybe we do know we're part of the community, but we don't want to tell anybody that. Or there is, you had mentioned the word identity, but there is a lot of identity associated with, once again, you know, work. Who am I? Where can I add value to the world? Am I too broke? All of those complications. But also, you had mentioned, Donna, which I agree with, the intersections. So there's just so many moving parts with this. So, and I'm going to bring up one more thing. So I think these will be good for you to tie together. But once again, you're focused on accessibility, but you're focused on it from the marketing part, and you have other peers that are associated with other parts, because it's a complicated thing. You also made a note that something you're talking about now is really rethinking the tacticalness, yes, of accessibility, Right. And so let's talk a little bit about that, because once again, I know that you're showing a lot of leadership at an Indeed, and one of the groups, the Valuable 500, when they pulled the first 500 corps together, they went to a couple of groups in the United States that were smaller groups that say, us people with disabilities are not being included in these job boards and these job platforms, and so we're going to do it ourselves. Well, unfortunately, both that they visited were inaccessible. One had 3 resumes, one had 107 resumes. We cannot go to 500 corporations that have millions of jobs and say, here you go, this is how you solve this, because it don't work that way. That's why we need Indeed heavily engaged in these conversations, because this is how we change the dynamics. But I was just curious what you're thinking about that, because I know you're very committed to accessibility and you have a philosophy about accessibility in ways that we should really be rethinking it.
Absolutely. I joke that I'll scream this from rooftops if I get the opportunity, that accessibility is a tactical arm of disability inclusion, meaning that it's not our goal. Yes. In terms of conformance, mm-hmm. compliance, what have you, we absolutely have that accessible technical checklist type product. However, that isn't really our goal. Our goal is to break down barriers and practice disability inclusion. And that doesn't mean only disabled. That's where intersectionality comes in. There's different barriers and different presentations, not to mention there's social bias, cultural bias, religious bias. All of these pieces come together to create unique experiences. So we're really, being screen reader compatible is important, but it is not our goal. Our goal is to make it so that somebody with the lived experience where they may be using a screen reader, whether it be for visual impairments or cognitive disabilities or intellectual disabilities, whatever their journey is that has brought them to use that screen reader, we need that to be an impactful, not just somebody checked a box. It reads image number 357643.jpg. No, we want to hear obnoxious brunette woman waving her arms, screaming that accessibility is just a tactical arm of disability inclusion. So we need to think more strategically. I always joke that my philosophy comes from the fact that growing up, I was the one in my house who didn't have a disability that was profoundly impacting their lives. I was the only one in my household. Later at 16, I was coded learning disabled, but in 93, those were a little bit different than how we understand neurodiversity now. But nonetheless, and that's where the whole disabled enough conversation comes up, but we'll go there in a minute. But the whole idea is that I grew up being accessible, not because I wanted to be this good sister that made sure my older sister could perceive my words, but because, darn it, she'd get out of doing the chores. I wasn't going to have any of that.
I agree.
I was being inclusive because my goal was to have my sister included in doing the work.
Right.
It wasn't
right.
My goal to make sure I was articulating so she could read my lips. My goal, that was technically how I executed. So that same, I call it my princess complex, that same princessness needs to actually grow and scale to a corporate level where accessibility is how we're doing it. But what we're doing is we're bringing this incredible talent pool to the table and we're letting them have a voice. And I don't care if that's an electronic voice or if it's one from their biological being.
I agree.
Their voice is what is needed.
I agree. I totally agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. Total my soapbox these days. But and it's really, it's powerful because when we start rethinking that, in terms of marketing, it makes you want to celebrate all of the humans in a way that allows you a different lens. And it also allows you allows people the freedom to get it wrong in terms of the Somebody asked me the other day, how are you so confident talking about this? They're like, I'm afraid I'll get something wrong and I'll hurt somebody. I'm like, okay, well, first of all, I'm not confident I'm not going to get it wrong. I am going to get it wrong. I've gotten it wrong 1,000 times. I'll get it wrong 1,000 more times. I'm confident that I'm willing to learn and I'm willing to be, hey, you know what? I can do better. I didn't understand that experience. Or maybe, you know, again, child of the 80s, maybe growing up, I, you know, went back to an older terminology or something. Or maybe the person I knew who identified that way identified as, like, if you ask a 40-something-year-old on the spectrum, they may say they were an Aspie kid or have Asperger's. That's no longer an official diagnosis. But if that's how they self-identify, that's probably how I'm going to reference it. Right, you know, because right. I want to respect their identity. So all of this just kind of goes together towards that whole being free to learn and to educate ourselves and to talk about, you know, I joke human beings are sticky. There's never just a clear cut anything. We're all sticky. Right. It's all different. And by focusing on disability inclusion instead of the checklist, we are free to be sticky. And free to be human and free to really focus in on that, the powerful beings that we are.
Ooh, that is so powerful. And, you know, as you're talking about this, once again, I just feel so grateful you're in the industry and that you had your wonderful family surrounding you that could teach you. But I wish more brands would think about this like you are talking about it, because in the first place, I love what you're saying that Indeed is not about disability inclusion. Indeed is actually making sure that any human being that wants to get a job and have job resources have availability to it, regardless if they are intersectional or not. So I love that point. I love that point that you're making. And but why did Indeed start making this a priority? I mean, this to me is such a silly question, because it's like, how can anybody not make this a priority? But the reality is, I don't see a lot of your competitors at the table talking about this, Donna. I just don't see them. If they are there, they're not doing a good job at getting it to the community. Indeed is. I'm hearing about Indeed from leaders all over. I'm just saying I am.
That's great to hear. I love that. That warms my heart.
Yeah, so you're thrilled, but I don't know what the others are doing, but why? I would be curious, why does Indeed care about this?
Indeed takes their social impact and their ability to change lives very, very seriously. Like when we talk about we help people get jobs, our whole org is based around what does a job seeker need? What do employers need to reach that job seeker? Like, we are really, one of the reasons I was so excited to join Indeed is because they're so human-centric. Oh, wow. And that's the core of who I am as a human, and who, not only as a human, but like as a professional in this field. I'm always focused on that human experience. And then when I discovered that Indeed is really, that's the focus, is the person. It's not, you know, all the data teaches us about the people. It's not data for data's sake. So when you stay focused about the people and about the human beings whose lives you're impacting, it's easier maybe it's more natural or what have you, to really go ahead and say like, wow, what are the barriers there? How can we make change? I mean, truth be told, we've got leadership who's invested in this. We've got teams who are supporting this and each other. You know, I have somebody on a different team, a different accessibility team, and I call him my wonder twin, because our skill sets tend to be exact opposites of each other, but in a very complementary way. So, you know, but we have that great support system, and nobody can do any of this work alone, right? Mm-hmm. It does. It takes a village. And honestly, I think I need a bigger village in my 40s than I did in my, you know, when I was a kid in many ways. It takes a village. And if we're going to go ahead and make impactful, lasting change, we need these large groups, these large organizations, these intersecting teams, this collaboration to make change. You know, I want to celebrate everybody's work, but none of us can do it alone.
I agree. And also, we have to be kinder to each other because use the wrong language. I know it's terrible what we do to each other. And it's like, you know, I've been attacked on social media about stupid stuff. And I think, and I remember one time this one person didn't like something I said about, you know, somebody's hair. And but I was just saying, wow, I can't believe how we discriminate each other. And she came in and said, see, and she just sort of attacked me. And what happened was, what made me sad about it was that it stopped all conversations because people were engaging and she came out and was angry. Maybe she was having a bad day, but it stopped the conversation. And I thought that is a real shame because we have to allow each other to grow and change and make mistakes. And by the way, this is new. So as we're making mistakes, this is unfolding. Identity is unfolding. And groups like yours at Indeed are helping us understand what does it mean to, what does my identity mean? What does my work-life balance mean? What about, it's fascinating in a way, what y'all have to get your hands around because you've got the artificial intelligence conversations. Can we use that to make sure that we're, you know, hiring people or are we accidentally leaving people? It's just so complicated and there's so many moving parts to it. And also you have other, you know, competitors that aren't talking about these things. So, you know, why is Indeed talking about it? Because are you giving away some of your competitive advantages to some of your competitors because you're so openly talking about this and making it a commitment to include everyone?
I don't see that as, I don't think of it in terms of our competitors, to be brutally honest. I see that we have a mission. I see that we are a mission-driven org to help people improve their lives through work. So that feeds our mission, and our mission feeds our success. What other organizations are doing, you know, we've all heard in the community, we all can probably identify two or three really impressive organizations out there. And, you know, there's a couple of CEOs, CAOs out there I'm a complete fangirl of. I won't lie. There are real definite leaders out there. And I want to focus on the positive work being done and that positive contribution to making someone's lives better. And you know what? If we make social change, go us. I mean, I don't see that as a secret.
No,
like teaching making a cultural shift. The disability justice movement has gotten a real push with COVID. COVID has been tragic, but it also has sparked the disability justice movement of saying, you know, these are our lives and we have something to say. And there's so many powerful, powerful voices out there making a difference.
Yes.
You know, if we can contribute at all to that ocean, go us. I can't think of it in terms of competition because we're just trying to help somebody improve their lives.
I agree. And by the way, I knew that's what you were going to say, but only because what's so beautiful about this work is that the brands don't think of it like about competition. They really, the brands that are doing it like Indeed are really focused on, wait a minute, this is, I don't want to say the right thing to do, but this is what we should be doing to make sure we're servicing all of our customers. I mean, you know, we're helping everyone. So it is a good business directive. So I appreciate, you know, all the stuff you're doing. But I do want you just to be able to talk a little bit about Disabled Enough.
Oh, absolutely. So what usually sparks this conversation is I do bring my own personal experiences a lot to conversations. And In terms of the program within marketing, I have education being pretty much the cornerstone because I want people comfortable having the conversations and asking the questions that are going to allow us to make change. So I talk a lot about my own experiences and, you know, growing up, there were a lot of physical disabilities, visual disabilities, audio disabilities, chronic illness. I was exposed to a lot of it very young and it was just, all right, disability is already normal, but I knew it was normal Perfect. Before most people did. How's that?
Oh, well said.
But when I was, you know, coded as, and I don't know if they use that phrase anymore. Back in 93, they called it coding. They coded me as learning disabled at 16. I still didn't identify as being disabled. I mean, spelling, driving directions, you give me anything with linear thought, good luck. We'll all have fun watching that train wreck. But nonetheless, I didn't really consider myself disabled because I saw the profound societal impact on somebody beyond not doing great on a spelling test. Now that I'm, you know, an adult in this field, I have a knee that desperately needs to be replaced. So I have a big, it's right over there, big brace I often wear out if it's bad weather. Its name is Gilbert. It's a lot easier to tell my kids, hey, can you find Gilbert? I forgot where I left him. I have a big brace. And I also have a cane for when it's, I don't want to wear the larger brace because it's pretty heavy sometimes. And I have these things that I have a defined mobility barrier right now. When, you know, applying for a role, I actually had a very in-depth conversation with somebody about whether do I check the box? Do I check that self-identification box? Here I am. You know, we don't know what kind of real neurodiverse I am because in 93, the definitions were a little bit wonky. But there's a good chance, let's just say, I'm gray area neurodiverse. I have a limp. I can't walk a long period of time. I have these barriers that do impact my personal life. But do they impact me enough to check the box in a work? I'm not going to request specific accommodations. I already have a spell check. You know, I don't necessarily need any accommodations. So like looking at that box, I'd always stare at it. Am I disabled enough?
I know,
and that's one of the reasons I actually love what we're doing here at Indeed is because, you know what? It doesn't matter. If you normalize disability inclusion, like for example, our event forms, everyone is asked, do you have access needs? I forget the exact phrasing, but essentially we're asking everybody, do you have access needs? Because guess what? All access needs are all human needs. You know, I tease people. I'm in New Hampshire. You give me a bad enough snowstorm, my access need is going to be internet.
Correct.
We're all, you know, it's all access needs. So if everyone is asked the access needs, if every applicant for every role is given the opportunity to ask for access needs, it no longer matters whether or not I want to check that box. What matters is there's a support system out there that says, hey, let me meet you where you are. Let me be with you where you are, and I'm going to help you succeed. And together, we're going to lift all boats. That whole rising tide lifts all boats.
I love that. I love the way we're having this conversation because it is subtly different. And more than subtle, this is where we really have the impact. I'm so excited about what you're doing and what Indeed is doing. How does an organization like Indeed work with groups like LinkedIn? I know I'm a very big fan of LinkedIn, and I know that LinkedIn helps recruiters find us and helps us have the conversation. How do things like that, I'd heard a rumor, I don't think it's happened, but I'd heard a rumor that LinkedIn was considering allowing us to check allowing us to say that we had a disability if we wanted to identify, but you do it in a way that the only people that could see that would be recruiters. You wouldn't see it on the rest of you, on your community that's following you. And so I was just intrigued and I started thinking about the role that LinkedIn is playing in this. So I was just curious, how does that work with, I just don't know.
In truth, I think that's a little out of my area, so I don't want to really lead you wrong. I know that myself and many of my colleagues are all on LinkedIn, and right. I know that I follow some really, you included, but I really follow a lot of people within the disabled community to make sure that I'm elevating the voices as new ones emerge, because there's right. always an experience. You know, I listen to a lot of books. When I'm doing things, I'm always trying to push myself out of my own lived experience. And especially in areas of intersectionality, it's, you know, there's limits to my ability to understand everything. So I'm trying to push myself beyond my own scope of being. And I go there so I can go through and I share a lot internally with my colleagues here to try to elevate those voices. You know, whether it be something more formal about, there was an article, and I cannot remember the publication now. There was an article I shared this morning saying that, frankly, disabled voices of color are not being elevated enough.
I agree.
So I've shared that and things like that. So I do use the social network. Okay. But beyond that, I really can't speak to LinkedIn or any others.
Right. And I know that was a complicated question. That's what I think of all kind of complicated questions in my head.
No, they're good questions to ask. I just don't have the answers.
Right. But I appreciate the brands working together. But I also want to say that today, preparing for your interview, I just did a little search and typed in Indeed and accessibility. And I got a really nice document that talked about, it's more than a checklist, assistive technologies, how do you hold accessible meetings? I was just really impressed with this document that I got very quickly, very easy to read, very great information. So is there other things like that out there? I want to ask you a question in that, how does the community really get behind what you're doing at Indeed to help y'all be more successful? Because your success equals our success. So I'll throw those both at you.
All right. So first question regarding the accessibility statement. Thank you. Yes, I know we, myself and some others worked really hard on sprucing that up within the last year too, because we wanted to talk more about the people and the humans. And we wanted to say that, you know, if you come to an Indeed hosted event, we're going to have, you know, assuming it's a larger event, we're going to have a quiet space if you need a break. We're going to have bowls for service animals, water bowls, because, you know, everyone's success is interdependent and includes the fuzzy members of the team. sorry, I'm making myself laugh there. I'm a dork. You know, it means that when you come to the site, we know that these are going to be the assistive devices we actively have tested on and are actively working with. However, if you come to us and you have something different or are not getting that experience, we want to hear from you. It's not just, we want to know about it so we can address it. It's a commitment. Because like there's, there's other screen readers out there and right. I want to honor that, that my assistive are, you know, my list of assistive devices that we've shared does not equate the entire, again, human experience. So if there's something right. else, that's fine. So we wanted to really rewrite that to be about the humans, about the experience and about all of that. So your second question was, how do you help?
How do we
in truth? Help?
Only because, right.
Let's get jobs. Seriously, our success as an organization is dependent on everyone else being successful. So if the disabled community would like to support us, come get jobs. You know, improve your life, improve your situation, and get empowered. Read our materials. We have fantastic career guides and lead articles and all of that. Like I got to work on an article recently about the different accessibility certifications. If that's something you're interested in, there's different ones depending on your focus. And I'll give you a spoiler. I'm a big fan of managerial people taking some of these ones, not the technical courses, but like the International Association of Accessibility Professionals. I'm going to forget all of the things. The core competencies one.
Yeah,
core, all the core editors. Yeah, but like that one, it's understanding the models of disability. It's understanding the different legal pieces about how it's perceived differently around the world. There's all of these different parts to it that like people in management can benefit from because they're going to have a greater understanding of the barriers being faced. And then if they're, you know, then they can apply their own lived experience to it. I mean, if we think about it, disability is the only underrepresented group that can be in every other one.
I know. And we can join at any time. Not a threat. It's just work.
No, you can wake up, not a member of the community, go to bed, a member of the community. What? And you know what? Yep. That's okay. It's not a bad life. It's just a difference. It's your identity evolving. And frankly, we're all supposed to evolve. That's what being human is. It's part of what makes it sticky. We're going to evolve. We're going to change. We're going to learn. Our bodies are going to change. And frankly, if we're lucky enough, we're all going to age into disability eventually anyway.
Right.
So these are all pieces of it. And it's this, people kind of give me a look, but I tell them that, you know, my role is to be a toddler with sticky fingers. It touches everything.
Ooh, I love that. And Donna, can I just ask you, how is your sister doing that you that didn't want to do the equal chores? How is she doing?
Oh, she's doing all right. She lives like a half hour from here. We were just chatting yesterday. We're getting together in a few weeks. So, no, she's well.
Is she working? Is she working?
She does work part-time. She,
all right, cool.
She has a, yeah, there's more to that story.
Yep, but yep, there always is. But I just had to ask because, you know,
no, she absolutely is, and she's doing something she loves. So,
I'm so glad. We all have our purpose, and we can all contribute. That's why I loved your story.
Everyone has something to contribute. Everyone.
Yes, and Donna, I want you to come back in like 6 months and give us an update. Our community needs you to be successful. We need Indeed to be wildly successful because, as you said, Indeed being wildly successful means we're getting employed.
Absolutely.
And nothing is more important than that right now. And we're celebrating the intersections and everything. So I really, really am grateful for all the leadership you and your team members and your peers are showing us at Indeed. And we're very, very grateful. We're grateful for it. So that's one reason why I really wanted. I know, but you know, we're all in this together. So I really do appreciate it. Yeah. So let me give you the final word and maybe you could tell the audience how they could find out where to go to Indeed and also how they can contact you on LinkedIn and things like that if they want to. So let me give you the final word.
Sounds great. Well, in terms of Indeed, you would go to indeed.com and take a look around. I'm a big fan of following your curiosities until you find something that works for you. If you want to reach out to me, I'm on LinkedIn, Donna Bungard. My last name is Bun like hamburger bun and guard without the U because you're not in it. So it's Bungard. I did say I can't spell, so I make it easy for everybody. Donna Bungard on LinkedIn. You're welcome to reach out, make a connection, drop me a note. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And let's all, again, a rising tide lifts all boats. So let's help each other. Let's keep these movements going. And Deborah, thank you so much for your work. for the community, for all of this. You've done so much, and you've elevated so many voices. So thank you.
Yeah. I isn't that a gift that I get to find amazing people like you? I just love it. So thank you for that, Donna. But, and also thank you to the audience. Guys, we have a choice. We have choices, and we've got to support the brands that are supporting us. So if you're looking for a job, please go out to Indeed.com and look for a job. And then could you let me know? Let us know. Tag us on LinkedIn if you find a job because you actually went out and looked at it because of this interview. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you're experiencing, and Indeed cares about us. They want to include us, whether we have invisible and hidden or visible disabilities and the intersection. So I just really appreciate Donna and the work she's doing and Indeed.com. So I wanted to make sure y'all knew what they were doing. And once again, we're going to get her coming back. We're going to invite her to different sessions so that y'all can hear her voice more and her peers' voices as well. So Donna, thank you. Thank you. And thank you to Indeed.com. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
You've been listening to Human Potential at Work. To learn more about Rue Global Impact, visit RueGlobal.com. And to learn more about Billion Strong, an identity and empowerment organization designed to bring the billions of voices of persons with disabilities together, you can join the global community and donate at billion-strong.org. That's billion-strong.org.